You're on KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara. Welcome to Radio Causeway. I'm Pav.
I'm Tim. This is your weekly showcase, bringing you timely interviews and bridging your world of music.
In a school climate of standardized testing and program cuts that sees music and arts education increasingly eliminated, Notes for Notes is a nonprofit organization working to bring music back to the lives of youth in after school. Phil Gilley, Taylor Hurtado, and Ian Putnam of Notes for Notes are in studio today to talk about the work at the Music Box.
And later in the show, we've got our Yeah! Free Music Pick and Strange News. Stay tuned.
Good morning, you're on KCSB FM 91.9 in Santa Barbara and streaming live on kcsb.org. This is Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Pav.
Got a great show lined up for you today. Notes for Notes is a nonprofit organization dedicated to giving youth the opportunity and means to explore music in a safe, positive environment in hopes of helping them steer clear of negative social situations. With us today are Philip Gilley, founder, executive director for Notes for Notes, and Taylor Hurtado and Ian Putnam, program directors for Notes for Notes. Welcome to Radio Causeway.
Thank you
for having us.
Morning.
So I wanted to start off, for those that don't know about Notes for Notes, maybe they're not from Santa Barbara, maybe they are and they haven't heard of it yet. Can you talk about what Notes for Notes is and then also the Music Box, because they're two separate things but connected, right?
Sure. I'll chime in and then let you guys take over. The quick and easiest description is that we're a nonprofit organization, obviously, and the easiest thing is we basically build after-school recording studios. We have three studios in town, one at the Santa Barbara Boys and Girls Club right near SB High, just built the new one at Santa Barbara West Boys and Girls Club, and we also have a smaller studio in the 1235 Teen Center. And basically, they're full-on recording studios packed with every instrument you can imagine, from drums, guitars, turntables, keyboards, synthesizers, computers, with programs like Reason and Fruity Loops to be able to give kids the opportunity to make beats and electronic music, and then a full recording studio. And it's completely available to any youth for free. So it's the opportunity to be able to come in, explore, get your hands on the equipment if you've always wanted to just try out the guitar or any of the other pieces of equipment. Take lessons on everything across the board, and then be able to lay your tracks down and make a demo.
So who comes to the Music Box? How do kids find out about this? And how do they, who's it open to? How does it work for the kids?
Okay. Well, it's open to any kids from elementary through high school. Sometimes we have kids that are in the early years of college come in as well. Some of those kids are ones that have actually been in the program for a while, and they grew up in it through their high school years. And they hear about it through other kids at the school. The Boys and Girls Club is clearly the best passageway for them to hear about it, because we're right in the building. They know about it. They can walk right down the hallway and hang out in there. They tell their friends, and their friends tell other friends. And word gets around through kids at school and parents, and more kids just keep showing up all the time. And we have a lot of regular kids too. You know, there's kids that come in there every day and play, practice. We have kids that come in and record on a weekly basis, same night every week, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of regulars.
And how do the demographics compare from one center to the other? Is it same age groups or, you know, different levels of musicians?
Well, on the east side, we tend to have more of the older kids because we're right by the high school. Mm-hmm. So we've got middle school, high school kids walking over there. The west side studio, I believe, tends to be a lot more younger kids, because that's the demographic that's over in that neighborhood.
Yeah, for the most part on the west side, we've got a lot of the kids coming from elementary schools, you know, even on the other side of town, like Franklin, that kind of thing. They seem to congregate at that location. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our scope of things that we focus on is, you know, generally the same as, you know, the things over at the east side location, but we have to kind of cater them differently, obviously, because we have some of the younger kids. And since everyone over there, for the most part, is kind of a beginner, you know, if they're mm-hmm. coming from that Boys and Girls Club, we're working on the baby steps and that kind of thing with them and getting them to the more efficient levels. And then also, you know, we have kids coming from, you know, inside of town, and they want to come over and work on tracks, or, you know, they want to come over and influence some of the younger kids. So it's really, really great to have these three locations, you know, to network between.
And we've got a lot of collaboration between all the studios. I mean, they're Skype together.
Oh, cool.
We're working on some other software to be able to bridge the gap, even we'll send files back and forth, you know, something like LogMeIn Pro or go to Citrix Online, go to my PC. So, you know, a kid on either side of town can be looking at the same screen, the same project, and both working on it together. You know, so it is a reality that kids in this town, there's some that, you know, State Street is that divide. You better not go cross it.
That's right.
It's a sad reality, but it is a reality for some of these kids. And, you know, to be able to bridge that divide and have music to be that common language that's going to connect them, not only in the digital space, but also in the cultural space, is, you know, something that's probably one of the core cool things about what we do. You know, and as a whole, the, you know, really a lot of what we focus on our attention, and Taylor and I were talking about this yesterday, is, you know, it's really, you know, we're geared more towards kind of like the teen high school age group, because as you can imagine, with all the technology and the equipment and everything in there, I mean, that's who's going to be able to have the easiest grasp on it right away. But at the same time, I mean, I wish I'd had a guitar when I was 6 or 8 years old. I mean, I'd hope I'd be a prodigy by now, but probably not. But you never know. That's the point, is, you know, exposure at a very early age and what that turns into and what that transitions into. You never know.
Right, right. Not necessarily becoming a Jimmy Page, but maybe becoming aware of kids on the other side of town that aren't enemies. They're actually kids just like you or your buddies, and right. Be able to work together and make some cool things happen instead of fight each other.
Yeah, and glad you mentioned that. I mean, that's really at the core. I mean, we've got the studio. We've got the equipment, but the fundamental thing is, you know, the studio, let's face it, is a cool place. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, the kids have picked up their cell phone and, oh, it's where you at? Oh, I'm in the studio. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the cool environment to be in, like, much like the radio station here. And it becomes, like, you know, a common ground where anyone can come through, but the reason people are going there is to participate in music somehow. Maybe they know exactly what they want to do, or they know they want to lay down a track, or they know they just want to be involved in music somehow. And sometimes that transitions into something like you're saying. Maybe it is to be on stage someday and to be a performer.
Right.
But maybe it's about being in a place where your eyes are going to be open to different opportunities. And maybe that's being an engineer. Or maybe that's, you know, your buddy's really good and you want to help him find a way to get on stage. And that's the management. I mean, there's a lot of paths that come out of the music industry that's not just about getting the record deal, but it's about exploring what exists out there.
That's right. We're going to take a quick song break, but we're going to get back in the second half talking about some of the celebrities that have been involved helping get the equipment. You guys got amazing equipment. You also have a big event coming up in July. Tickets just went on sale for that. It's a fundraiser for Notes for Notes, Steve Miller Band playing at Libero. But right now we're going to take a quick song break, and we'll be back with more from Philip Guiley, founder, executive director for Notes for Notes, and Taylor Hurtado and Ian Putnam, program directors for Notes for Notes. Right now we got a track from the radio department. It's Heaven's on Fire. You're on Radio Causeway.
People see rock and roll as youth culture, and when youth culture becomes monopolized by big business, what are the youth to do? Do you have any idea? I think we should destroy the bogus capitalist process that is destroying youth culture.
This is my impersonation of a radio voice. Hi, this is blank from blank. No, okay, sorry. This is Andy Bicklebaum.
And Mike Bonanno.
From?
Where are we from?
The Yes Men.
Oh, that's right.
And you're listening to Radio Causeway.
With Pav and Tim?
Tim.
Is that a name? Uh-huh. On KCSB 91.9 FM,
Santa Barbara.
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Pav.
You just heard a track from the radio department, Heaven's on Fire. In a school climate of standardized testing and program cuts that sees music and arts education increasingly eliminated, Notes for Notes is a nonprofit organization working to bring music back to the lives of youth and after school. Philip Guiley Taylor Hurtado and Ian Putnam of Notes for Notes are in studio today to talk about the work. So, gentlemen, I wanted to get back to what we were talking about before the break, was some of the celebrities that have been involved with the Music Box Notes for Notes. Can you talk a little bit about the who's been involved and in their impact with the program?
I mean, we're fortunate enough to live in a community where we have a lot of folks and a lot of celebrities of name living here that are also extremely generous and have been extremely generous to Notes for Notes. And a lot of those folks have gone above and beyond, you know, just donating, but have donated equipment and have also done stuff, come down to the studio and hung with the kids and done workshops and stuff like that. And it will continue. I mean, we've got stuff in the studio from Jeff Bridges, Martin Gore of Depeche Mode. I mean, I literally feel like we have half a Depeche Mode in the studio as far as equipment.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we end up getting gear that would have been irresponsible for us to buy even if we had the money. I mean, like, we're not going to go buy a Fender Rhodes, but the fact that we have one in there or a $2,000 Virus keyboard is amazing.
Yeah.
So things like that, as well as, again, them kind of coming down to the studio and sharing their time. And, you know, in fall, we had probably one of the coolest ones, and Jack was playing at the bowl. He stopped by the studio.
Yeah, that was amazing because the kids were totally lit up about him coming by. And it was a really fun, casual visit. He jammed on some songs with the kids, a couple of his songs, and then we did a blues jam. And the studio was just completely packed, and there were parents looking on, and some of the staff of the club were looking on. It was a lot of fun, and could have been a life-changing moment for some of those kids. So it was very inspiring. And he promised he'll be back, so we're going to hold him to that. But he's been very generous with his time. And we have Peanut from 311, the bass player, coming next Friday on the 6th. So he'll be visiting the West Side studio first, and then he'll come over to the East Side and jam with the kids on both sides and answer questions and hang out. And we kind of like fostering that relationship with the celebrity musicians, mm-hmm. where they can come in and hang out and see what we're doing and find a way to give back to the kids, which is so huge for them and probably turns out being a life-changing thing for the celebrity musicians as well.
I'm sure.
Before we broke for the musical break, Philip, you were talking about just the variety of ways in which you know, kids' ambitions or dreams could be realized through the Music Box and Notes for Notes, I mean, ranging from production to performance. Mm-hmm. So this is almost what we're talking about now, is like this part of a series, like Learn from the Masters or Learn from...
Yeah, I mean, it's tentatively titled Learn from a Legend, right. But it's been tentatively titled for 5 years now. what that means is, I mean, part of it is, you know, and it kind of speaks to the whole kind of culture and vibe. I mean, we're a very laid-back kind of grassroots organization, and the studio carries on that same vibe as well. I mean, you know, we're not a school. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes when you say after-school program, it has a connotation. I mean, we're a recording studio, mm-hmm. and that kind of vibe runs through that. So when kids come in, and I almost don't even like calling them kids. I mean, what kid likes to be called a kid?
Right.
You know, when you come to the studio, you're a musician.
That's right.
You know, and that's when Jack came through, kind of perfectly exemplified that, is that, you know, here you got a guy who's touring around the world, and you've got a kid musician that has only been playing guitar for some of those kids for 2 weeks, other kids mm-hmm. 6 months. But when they all get down together and jam, they're all just musicians. Doesn't matter all that other stuff out there. It's like when you're in the studio, you're making music. So that's kind of something that carries through with anyone that comes through, is that we're just here to make music. You know, mm-hmm. you leave everything else at the door, you come in here to make music.
Now, how does the program work? So if someone has spent any time trying to record music, they know it's a labor-intensive process. You can do it yourself, but it's not something that's just an intuitive thing. Engineers, producers, how does that work? Are the kids the engineers? Is there staff that are engineers? How does it all work?
Well, for the most part, I mean, everything that we do for these kids is going to be free.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about just the exposure and the experiences for them. So realistically, when they come into the studio, you know, we ask them, hey, take a look around. What do you feel interested in? What do you want to play? Do you want to play some type of percussion? Do you want to learn how to mix things, you know, as an engineer would? Or,
you know, do you want to be a DJ? What strikes your fancy? You know, so when they come in and they say, okay, I want to learn guitar, you know, we start formulating a lesson plan for them, figuring out, you know, can you come every week? Can we get you here every day? How often do you want to be here? It's up to you, you know.
Yeah.
As long as our door is open, you're, you know, more than welcome to come through and play with everybody. And as far as recording and things like that go, we divide up our days. You know, our hours of operation are going to be from 3 to 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. So, you know, when we open the doors at 3, from that point on until 5 o'clock, that is jams and lessons, and that's kind of that free-for-all time where you can come in and, you know, volunteer and hang out with the kids and do that kind of thing. However, past 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, that's more exclusive. It's when we have the kids sign up for studio time. You actually book a block of time. You come in. We actually make all the other kids at that point in time go out. You know, that's when you go home and you go and you practice your stuff that you've learned for the day. And basically the engineer, you know, at my location, it'll probably be, you know, myself. If not, you know, we'll have a volunteer in there helping out as well. Ian's, you know, taking care of everything on the east side location. And then Phil is around at both locations and obviously the teen center as much as he can be. But it's awesome.
And you touched on something is like, you know, what is it? Is there someone there all the time?
Right.
And yes, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, no one can see, but I'm sitting in the center and I got these two guys to the left and right of me. These guys are the most important ones because they're in the studio
right.
providing that consistency as someone who's always there, always teacher. And when you go into the studio, you know you're going to see the guy who's going to be able to help you produce your track or teach you something on guitar. And having that continuity of the same person there is the most important thing in the core of what we do because, you know, opening up a room and, like, you know, tons of probably places around the country have tried to do, like, oh, let's just build a studio and see if it works. And, you know, the old analogy of, you know, you build it, they will come. Yeah, you build it, they'll come, and then if you don't show them what to do, they're not going to keep coming.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. it's most important to have Taylor and Ian in both of these studios that are there every day, you know, doing the work of being that continuity and that person there. So, again, when the kids come in, they know who to go to for whatever it is, you know, and it's that relationship that forms around music.
What is, I mean, that can you give us a sense of the community of kids who are, or musicians who are coming, like the consistency of their being of their staying with the Music Box as a program and you know working through their particular ambitions.
Yeah.
Well, some of the kids have been around since it started. Mm-hmm. When Phil started the program, and they're still here. One is 19, and he's working on his demo. He's a hip hop artist, so he wants to get that wrapped up by June.
Yeah.
This kid has recorded so many tracks, and he's so diligent and so talented. Preparing for a show at Velvet Jones this week. Another kid who's one of our staff members. Well, he's not a kid anymore; he's an adult. Caesar, who runs the Teen Center program. He's performing as well. He's been around for years. And some of these kids that have been there, say, for a couple of years, we've got a bunch of guitar players that have been coming there since they were in upper elementary school, and they're still there. In fact, a couple of those kids are in the band that we just formed, which will be playing a song or two at the benefit we have coming up. So there are a lot of kids that come and stick around, and they've been there. And I can imagine that they're going to be there easily until they leave high school because they just love it. And mm-hmm. I talked to a kid last week, this boy and his brother come to the studio every week twice, and they said this is the, you know, what they look forward to most every week.
I can
so
imagine.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about people growing up and growing out. So Notes for Notes, you guys have slowly been growing up and starting to grow out in Santa Barbara. What's the future plans? Is there plans for growing out of Santa Barbara?
Yes, there are. yeah, I mean, that's, you know, one of the most exciting things is Santa Barbara will always be home base. And it was a great place, you know, and it is a great place to start and incubate the idea. I mean, this town and this community, like from the musicians that live here and the foundations and the community and just, you know, you guys live here. Everyone, you know, it's a special place to live.
Right.
And it's just really embraced Notes for Notes. You know, and seeing the fact that, you know, now we've got three studios and, you know, we've got an ongoing relationship with the United Boys and Girls Club Santa Barbara that'll probably transition into doing a studio in Carpinteria mm-hmm. and a studio in Goleta locally as well.
Cool.
But at the same time, we've kind of, And it's only been trial and error and just keep going at it over the years. I mean, we've developed into what we are now, which is, you know, this laid back, this studio environment with at the core of it, this kind of vibe and culture.
Right.
And it almost would be silly to be like, well, can we do this in other places? I mean, we got to try and see.
Yeah.
So that's the goal now, is I'm actively working on expanding Notes for Notes to Nashville. Nashville being Music City.
Yeah.
Having tons of universities there, or staff and volunteers, mm-hmm. and especially those interested in the music community, the amount of artists out there. I mean, I can only imagine when we do an instrument drive in Nashville, what kind of gear we'll get.
Oh, goodness.
You know, so that's the exciting thing. So probably within, you know, the next 6 to 8 months, before the end of the year, we'll have at least one, possibly two studios in Nashville.
Wow.
And what I was talking for about kind of how we've been bridging the divide kind of between, you know, the East Side studio and the West Side studio, now we'll be able to do that across country. So having kids in Nashville collaborate with kids out here, send files back and forth, you know, and just create this common language of it's all about music. And because for some of these kids, I mean, their world revolves around how many blocks they can walk. I mean, that's the extent mm-hmm. of it. So to be able to open up their minds, not only through music, but exposure to kids in other places and music from other places. I mean, maybe we can send kids on trips back and forth. You know, you never know. I mean, that's the exciting part, is like the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, that's you can kind of feel the excitement just when you're talking about it. It's really cool to hear about. If you're a parent out there listening to this, you know what? That sounds awesome. It's free. Kids are in there for free. Programs for kids, it's not cheap usually. How not just free, but this is obviously something that is almost priceless. How could parents get their kids involved in this again?
Well, it's pretty easy. They can go to the website notesfornotes.org, and there's contact information there. There's information about where the studios are located, and we have a new website coming, by the way, too, which is very exciting. And they can know that we are at the East Side Boys and Girls Club and the West Side Boys and Girls Club and at the Teen Center, and it's literally a drop-in thing. They can go to the clubs and just ask where the music box is, and mm-hmm. it's right down the hall, or they could see it and walk right in, and they're ready to go. It's as simple as that. So our doors are open, and we're happy to have parents bring their kids in anytime. If they want to just scope it out, they're welcome to do that, or if they want to drop them off to jam for 2 hours, they can do that as well.
That's really cool. Before we let you go, I want to ask you real quick about the event that you guys got coming up in July. Tickets just went on sale, fundraiser for Notes for Notes, Steve Miller Band. Can you talk a little bit about the event and how that's going to work?
Sure. You know, basically, we all know that we have a local legend here in town, or some of us may or may not know, that Seymour Duncan, maker of, you know, the world's best guitar pickups, is actually just a couple blocks in Goleta.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, he's an actual man. Seymour Duncan's an actual guy, as well as, you know, that's the name of the company. But makers of, again, the world's best pickups, and just kind of a legacy within the music community. They stepped up early last year as one of our biggest sponsors and supporters.
That helps.
And this year is their 35th anniversary. So to commemorate that event, they're throwing, you know, a big concert, but their heads are totally in the game as being really strong, community-minded, and they're extremely philanthropic and have embraced Notes for Notes. And so this is going to be the beginning of what will be an annual concert every year. Start to have kind of this feel of there's the Grand Ole Opry kind of bridge school benefit, where you got mm-hmm. Seymour always on stage, and people, you never know, maybe it's Slash coming up, maybe it's Billy Gibbons' ZZ Top coming up to jam. And again, but it'll be an annual event to benefit Notes for Notes each year. And this year, Steve Miller Band is going to be headlining the event at the Libero Theater. So the show is July 19th, and tickets are available at the Libero and New Noise SB. New Noise Music Foundation is producing the event. Our brothers in arms, you all know them because they've done New Noise. And, you know, it's going to be, it's almost hard to say. It's not going to just be a concert. It's going to be an event.
An event.
Because, you know, here's Steve Miller Band, you know, sold out the Bowl last year, and this year he's playing a 600-person venue. And our, you know, it's going to be an intimate, awesome event.
If you're just tuning in, Notes for Notes is a nonprofit organization dedicated to giving youth the opportunity and means to explore music in a safe, positive environment in hopes of helping them steer clear of negative social situations.
We've been joined today with Philip Gilley, founder and executive director for Notes for Notes, and Taylor Hurtado and Ian Putnam, program directors for Notes for Notes. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we've got a song queued up. It's Steve Miller Band with Jungle Love. You're on Radio Causeway.
This is Lori Thomas, Wild Web Woman, and you're listening to Radio Causeway with Pav and Tim, KCSB 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara.
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. I'm Tim.
This is Pav.
That was Steve Miller Band with Jungle Love. He'll be playing a fundraiser show for Notes for Notes July 19th. Tickets are on sale. You can find out more at newnoisesb.com.
It is time for the Mullet Strange News.
All right, it's time for the Mullet Strange News.
What?
Go ahead and get us kicked off this time.
All right, well, as Tim reminded me a couple of weeks ago, it's baseball season.
Play ball!
Yes, it is.
So here's a spring-themed story. Tim, you have any favorite memories of, you know, like, ball games? Sometimes they have, like, Heritage Day or Beanie Baby Day or Towel Day, and they give you gifts or something.
Oh, man. No, I don't... I got... A couple jerseys, Jersey Day.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. I never got anything.
Oh.
That's maybe why I'm not a baseball fan. Oh. And now I'm even more disappointed because I just missed my opportunity when I was up in Seattle. Because the Seattle Mariners, instead of giving away towels or jerseys or bobbleheads or beanie babies, are participating in a local green sports alliance to demonstrate their concern for the environment. And so, towards that end, they announced in March that for several games this season, fans would get free bags of compost made from food and other items discarded at Mariners games. I mean, that was my opportunity. Wow.
Yes!
And now for something completely different?
Yeah, now for something completely different. This story was reported Monday. Milwaukee Brewers slugger Ryan Braun, who recently signed a $105 million contract extension to stay in Milwaukee, has most likely heard his share of marriage proposals coming from female fans. But on Friday night at Miller Park, a female fan decided to go above and beyond to get her man. The fan, who said her name was Robin, decorated a sign that read, "Marry me, Ryan." What's so special about that, you may be wondering?
I am.
Yeah. Well, in addition to the words, Robin also included all 10 digits of her phone number as well.
Great Scott!
Where did that come from?
Exactly. I'm wondering the same thing. And, well...
You know, my name is Ryan.
Oh, my goodness. The local broadcast cameras picked up on this and decided to show the signs on TV and interview the fan. That's when...
Who gave her phone number?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, on the sign, yep. That's when her phone started going crazy with calls and texts. Eventually, she had to turn off the phone. Ryan Braun, who has a girlfriend, later found out about the sign and being the guy that he is and one for his fans, decided to call Robin and thank her for the gesture. But he was unable to get through since Robin's inbox was full. Poor Robin.
How much do I owe you?
Half of nothing.
You mean it's free?
You feeling the love?
All right, it's time for our Yeah Free Music Pick of the Week, where we find music that's free and legal for download and use in podcasts and make it available for you to get at radiocausway.org. What do we got this week?
That's right. This is The Paparazzi with a track off their 2010 release called Rococo. The Paparazzi is Eric Paparazzi. Some of you may recognize him from his work with Cat Power and her Dirty Delta Blues. This track is Up, Up and Away. Major Scale.
You're on Radio Causeway.
Thank you.
How much do I owe you?
Half of nothing.
You mean it's free?
You feeling the love?
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. This is Pav.
I'm Tim. That was our Yeah! Free Music pick of the week.
And it was The Paparazzi with Up, Up, and Away, Major Scale. Where can they find that, Tim?
They can find that free and legal download at radiocauseway.org. What do we got coming up next?
This is a little treat. Something off the forthcoming release from Man Man out on May 10th. The record is called Life Fantastic. And guess what?
What?
So is the track.
Ah! You're on Radio Causeway.
Radioland, this is Rob Wallace, author of Improvisation and the Making of American Literary Modernism, and you're listening to Radio Causeway with Pav and Tim on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara.
Welcome back to Radio Causeway. This is Pav.
I'm Tim. You just heard a track from Boilermaker off their album Watercourse Dark Island, the name of the track. Before that, we had Surfer Blood, Take It Easy with the RAC Maury Mix, Volume 2. Starting off the set, we had
Man Man with Life Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yes, indeed. That cut was just fantastic. Gap of silence. Anyway, you know what that last Boilermaker track made me think of?
Bo from Lompoc for calling in?
Yes, exactly. Well, that was number one. We want to thank
Bo from Lompoc for calling in. Lompoc, yeah, thanks a lot. Call.
But it also put me in mind of our man Seamus.
Seamus.
Who will be on next with Jazz and Blues Cruise.
Yay.
I'm excited. And, of course, it's about that time, therefore, so if you would like to catch the show, catch the Yeah! Free Music Pick of the Week, you can find it on radiocauseway.org, or you can find the show on kcsb.org, or on iTunes.
Special thanks to Philip Gilley, Taylor Hurtado, and Ian Putnam from Notes for Notes for speaking with us today. Our theme music was produced by Forrest Seguin. Next week, we'll be talking with Dr. Danielle Bassett on her work using brain analysis in order to predict learning. Thanks for listening.
Until then, be good. Radio Causeway is a presentation of KCSB Public Affairs. The opinions expressed were those of the individual speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KCSB, the associated students, or the regents of the University of California.
If you have a comment or wish to respond, please address correspondence to KCSB, University Center, Room 3185A, University of California, Santa Barbara, California, 93106. This is KCSB, 91.9 FM, Santa Barbara.